Hello, I'm John McNamara, the Information Architect for IBM Messaging. We're going to have a wee chat today about mobile and M2M messaging using the articles and the libraries contained within the new IBM Messaging community on DeveloperWorks. If you've not been there, I can really recommend it. It can be found on www.ibm.com/developerworks/connect/IBM Messaging. Now, in that community, we've got all sorts of things like articles on Android and on iOS, on C and on Java, as well as libraries to help you get up and running and started quickly with your mobile and M2M messaging solutions. Today, we've got with us a chap called Rhys Short. Now, Rhys Short is a developer who's been working on the Android libraries and the articles. So we're going to have a wee chat to him today about the libraries, how they can be used, the problems they solve, how to get up and running with the libraries quickly, and any kind of hints and tips that he has. Hello there, Rhys.
Hi, John.
Hi. So, Rhys, can you talk to us a little bit about the sort of things you've been doing over the past 6 months with the Android libraries and the article?
Well, it's mostly looking at getting our MQTT Java client running on the Android platform, because why not? It's the idea is get push messaging going along because it's battery efficient.
Yep.
Which is what everyone wants in their mobile phone, really, isn't it? You don't want to be down the coffee house and you want to make a phone call and there's no battery left.
True enough. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a great way of doing your mobile messaging, so communicating. So it's giving you a pub sub model as well, so you can do stuff like push notifications.
Ah, fantastic. So when you say pub sub model, what does that mean?
It means you will subscribe to some sort to a topic in yep. MQTT's case, and the server will only send you a message when a message is published to the topic you've subscribed to.
So let's say, for example, then for a podcast, then I went to a podcast server and I said that, you know, I'm interested in being notified when there's a new podcast about shoes, socks, microphones, and laptops. And then I sit there, I wait, and then I'll get notifications when those things are updated to say, yeah, you've got something on shoes and socks and whatever else.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Genius.
So we'll just push down the notification based on what you've decided to subscribe to.
Yep.
And you'll get all your notifications telling you your latest podcast about those pair of socks that have just come out.
That's phenomenal. Is it worth dropping it down a level and just talking about the libraries themselves and the sort of things that the user needs to keep in mind before they start using them?
Well, yeah, from the Android's perspective, one of the things you've really got to get your mind straight first when you start using the client is whether or not you want to do your pub sub asynchronously or not.
Right.
Because there's two flavors of client. There's the synchronous one, which blocks on every call you make, or there's the asynchronous one, which you can just fire and forget about it and get the client to inform you later of what you've done. So this is the async is particularly useful in Android applications, so you can sit there outside of a service and have it running for a short-lived process.
Right.
So inside an activity, so the basic GUI that we have for Android, so you can fire it off, not worrying about blocking your main thread. So you don't have any of these restrictions. You don't have to worry about the restrictions that Android is imposing on you.
Oh, I see. Okay, French. So there's kind of like so in the article we've got in the DeveloperWorks community, we kind of take you through the kind of very hands-on, but I think what you're saying is there's a little bit of planning to take place initially, just to sort of think about the type of application that you want and how it's going to be architected before you really get hands-on.
Yeah, definitely, because you'll start getting into this phase where you're doing things where you're doing blocking and you realise, I've got threading issues, and you've already decided we're sticking with this client, we've implemented things all around it, and so you start using async tasks everywhere to farm out these calls.
Right.
When if you use the synchronous one from the beginning, you could have made a specific action listener, which is what we use in the library to inform you what's happened.
Okay,
and
cool.
So you write your action listener, and that could update your app's information based on what's actually happened.
Ah. So say we've done a planning activity and we've got the application square in our heads, we've scrolled down an architecture for the application, we know what we want to do, and we're thinking, well, okay, I've got my article in front of me, I've got my libraries in front of me, what's kind of the next step, what sort of things do you need to have in place before you start to get to grips with the libraries themselves?
Well, some basic knowledge of Android goes a long way, especially getting started is one of best things to do is go read the developer docs. Some of it's really good, mm-hmm. about doing some basic examples. But the main thing you should really consider is if you've slide your application, right, it's going to be this. Have you considered running your MQTT application as background service? So you've got the GUI disconnected from the actual network connection, so you can always keep it running, yep. which would be the way you'd do it for stuff like push notifications.
Okay, yep, cool.
So it's always a good thing to keep in mind that you can do this, but if you just in case you're thinking that you can do it in the activities and you've got your lifecycle a bit wrong.
Yep.
Because Android lifecycles aren't 100% straightforward to understand at first. They have some great diagrams which do help.
Absolutely right. So there's a little bit of investigative work to do initially with Android to prep you for getting hold of the libraries. Should we have a quick look at the article within DeveloperWorks itself?
Oh yeah, we should. That would be a great place to start of using our libraries. We have a great little sample there which I was part of writing,
yep.
showing you how you can use your MQTT application. So it's just something basic where, so you can use it to test your MQTT connections, really. It's nothing special, just subscribes and publishes messages. It doesn't really do anything with it other than display it, but it's a great way of showing this is how you can use the async interface in your Android applications and a way of building a service out to support your client.
So you've got is the libraries and a sample you can kind of play with that does something quite rudimentary but gives you enough knowledge and hands-on to say, well, okay, I understand how to employ a purpose-built model here, or an asynchronous model, and I can now build on that to do whatever I like, really. But this gives me a good starting point to get going on it. That's fantastic. So, all right. So, say for example, now you're looking at the article and you've got the libraries. So, before you begin, is there anything to check? I mean, do you need to worry about firewall settings, that kind of thing?
Oh, you definitely got to check your firewall settings, especially if you're using a MQTT server you've already got set up in your place of work or wherever it is you're doing this. You don't want to have your traffic blocked.
Right.
So that's definitely a big problem. You want to make sure your firewall is allowing the MQTT traffic through.
Okay.
So a quick test with the sample and install on your Android phone, because we do give you a prepackaged version.
Brilliant.
So you could use that to make sure that traffic from your Android device can get to your server.
Cool. I think actually we've got a video on that, haven't we, as well?
We do.
Which is on the IBM Messaging Media YouTube channel. And if you go to Google and just do a search for IBM Messaging Media, you'll find our channel and you'll see the video. Have a look through. There's some really good stuff on there. And there's some stuff that Reese has put together in terms of video, which kind of gives you a nice visual way of representing the article that we've got here in front of us. Okay, that's really cool. So in terms of the sample and what it connects to, you mentioned like an MQTT server. Would that include WebSerMQ? Could you use WebSerMQ as an MQTT server?
Definitely. You get the telemetry add-on, which is however you do that through our many packaging ways methods, and that provides all the MQTT functionality.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So you're able to take the libraries out of the box, use a sample, get them running with your pub sub model and connect up to with WebSerMQ, for example, as your backend server, and to get up and running with your app.
Yeah, straightforward as that. If you've got the telemetry pack installed, it's set up your channel that you want to connect to and you're good to go.
Genius. Okay, so you've had a look at your firewall. So what's the next step? Once you get your firewall settings worked out, in terms of getting up and running with the libraries, what's the next thing to do?
Next thing would be to play around, to get the sample loaded in, because it'll help you get your project set up for Android development, assuming you've got a nice clean workspace. So it'll also guide you, also using this will guide you through some of the pitfalls.
Okay.
So for instance, if you're not using Oracle's Java, so you're using what most of us here at IBM are using is IBM's Java, you'll notice when you try to build your application, you'll get an X509 certificate problem.
Right.
And that's literally because they're missing a class.
Okay.
That's an Oracle Java has, which IBM's doesn't. So it's one of the things to be aware of when you're first starting out with Android development.
Cool, fantastic. Okay, so we've got the Java sorted out, we've got the libraries downloaded. Is it then a matter of building the libraries and running the sample?
Pretty much. You get the sample, it's already done as a project for you in our client pack.
Yeah.
So you can find this in your WebSphere MQ XR SDK if you've got full MQ installed in your system, or you can get it from DevWorks.
Cool.
But you pull it in as an Eclipse project. It's all laid out, all correct from the file system, ready for you to play with, and you've got to fix a couple of the compile errors first. So you add the support library. It's very important. So it gives you backward compatibility between different versions of Android.
Brilliant.
It doesn't go... So you can get so far back. It does some have some limitations. So you can't do Action Bar stuff.
Okay.
All the new shiny UI things. But you can get some way back in supporting all the levels of Android.
Genius.
And then the next thing you have to do is get your PAHO jar and put that into the libs directory.
Okay.
And then all the compile problems should go away and you're good to launch it and play with the sample.
Phenomenal. So in terms of getting hold of this good stuff and getting playing with it, I know because I got to put it there, and one of my small contributions to it was a page on downloads within the community. And what that does is it gives you a link to the download pack, which includes the Android libraries. But it also gives you, to get the server end, a link to the WebSRMQ trial download. So you can download that, install it, and get up and running really, really quickly and get the libraries downloaded, built, and then run your sample against them and get your rudimentary first application up and running really, really quickly. So how long, let's say for example you download your app, you've got your server there, how long do you think a user would take to get up and running with the sample?
Once you've set up, assuming you've got your telemetry channel set up on your trial edition of MQ, it shouldn't take that long, about 20 minutes I think to get going.
That's pretty cool. So 20 minutes from zero to getting your app up and running and playing around with it and seeing messages be transmitted, 20 minutes. That's not bad.
That is assuming you've got all the bits downloaded, because your download speed might rack that up a few times, especially when from where the university I've been, where the download speeds are horrifically slow.
That is a really great overview of the libraries, what you can do, and the problems that you can solve with them, how they fit into an M2M messaging, a mobile messaging. Do you have any kind of hints and tips? Is there one thing that a listener should kind of take away with them? What would it be, Reese?
Definitely to use your MQTT app. And when you're building it, use the libraries in a service. Because although it's going to take you a bit longer to get going with this, so you get all your interactions between your main activities and the service going, in the long term, it does save you a whole heap of bother where you can add other features into this, so you can add your push notifications if you wanted to later on. So you could just start up doing this with basic messaging to communicate, which is, fair enough, it would make sense to just put this straight into activities themselves and share across, but because their life cycle is not as great as the service, you can get that starting and have it permanently long running.
Right.
So you've got it always connected, so you can really build off that as a platform.
So it could be worth your while investing in a kind of a slightly more sophisticated model, but it's kind of future-proofing your kind of knowledge and your experience, so you can build on that to create better and bigger applications.
Yeah, definitely, because building it out on the service will mean that you've thought about the future in a bit of a sense that you can manage the life cycle of your application a lot better. So when a user, for instance, shuts down your application, you can keep the service running in the background. So you can do all these fancy messaging, all these push notifications coming down. So you've your SOX podcast has just come out.
Yeah.
So you can get all that straight into the background, because they can also generate notifications and a range of other things.
So saying it's on, so I know what you mean. So you've got so if I've got my mobile phone and I'm running an application in the foreground and I'm going, whatever it is, I'm on Facebook or whatever else, what you're saying is that I can probably close down that, but have the service run in the background so that all of my notifications and my updates can occur underneath, if you like, in parallel to what I'm doing at the moment.
Yeah, because Android, being a mobile platform, is particularly good at throttling other activities that are in the background.
Right, okay.
So it doesn't waste too much power. So by putting it into the service, the idea of the service is that it's long running and you don't really kill it if you start it in a particular mode, which is start sticky. So
I can see that being really incredibly useful. Fella, thank you very much. That is awesome. Thanks, buddy. Much appreciated. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.